This is Tony Cook, and we are here with Jeff and Beth Jones in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And Lisa and I have been here for a few days, and I was really, really impressed with something I saw in their church on their Saturday night service, Sunday morning service, and just a really outstanding inclusion of baptism right in the middle of the service. That was one of the most powerful baptisms that I've seen in a church, and I want to talk about that. But let me first of all thank you guys for agreeing to do this interview and share some insights with some of our listeners. And if you don't know Jeff and Beth, they've been pastoring in Kalamazoo for how long?
Well, almost 19 years now.
19 years. And I've had the privilege of being at their church at different levels, and they have just blown the doors off. They have had continually outstanding growth, and they're now in a gorgeous new facility. And I know you guys do a seminar every, is it October?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Go ahead.
Well, we do a conference. It's called Fly on the Wall. And it's for pastors, senior pastors, and their key staff. And they come, spend the whole weekend with us. They get here on a Saturday. They spend Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And literally, they're a fly on the wall. They're in all the behind-the-scenes meetings. They're in the different services, the different areas of ministry, a lot of one-on-one Q&A. And we actually make it a small group on purpose. So they can really just get, you know, it's not like a big, you know, come into a big room type of conference thing. It's really more one-on-one, hands-on stuff. And see what we're doing here, and see what God's doing, and then see if there's some things you can take back, some principles or ideas or things to take back to your church in terms of creatively reaching the culture with the gospel.
What's helped us over the years is going to different churches around the country and seeing how they're getting it done, seeing how God's using them and the strategies that He's given them, and learn how to apply it to ourselves. But like Beth said, sometimes you go to a conference, and there's thousands of people there, and you leave wowed by what happens to the church, but you don't know how they do it. You don't understand the steps behind the behind-the-scenes stuff that is necessary to learn. And so for us, this has been a good thing to do, to just show people, listen, come on behind the scenes, look at how we put it all together, and then implement it, and you're able to see it. You know, when you can actually begin to see something in your own head about how to make it work, you can take it back to your own church, and with the tools that you have there, make something happen that's similar. It's easy.
Very good. This year's conference is when?
This year's conference is October 16th, 17th, and 18th. Okay. And we're going to begin registration here soon. And the fee is $149 per person. Or if they have a group of five or more, it is $119 per person.
Okay.
And we'd love to have as many pastors and or their key staff as want to come. We will embrace them and just do whatever we can to teach them what we've learned.
Good.
I was going to say that the fee is just to help us cover the expense, our expenses on hosting it. But really, the time away from their church obviously is huge. Any time you take time away from your church on the weekend is an important investment to your senior leaders and your staff. But we believe it's well worth the trip.
Mm-hmm. And as a visitor here, I would just say that, you know, I throw my wholehearted recommendation behind this, and this is the kind of church and the kind of operation and ministries taking place that I think would be a great investment for a pastor to make. You'll be very glad you came. There's a lot of good things going on here and a lot of great things to see and to learn from what you guys have done. Not that we're in the numbers game, but what are you guys running church-wise now? People and all that?
Well, our weekly attendance is around between 3,500 and 4,000 per weekend, and that includes three services. We have one on Saturday, one on Sunday morning, and then another brand-new thing we're trying out here this summer called The Experiment. It's Monday night church, exactly what we're doing on the weekends. We just do it on Monday night, and our goal is to see if we're going to be able to attract an audience of folks that, here in Michigan, so oftentimes on the weekends, people go to their cottage, they go out to their boats, and they miss church. And so we think we're going to give people another alternative to attend church during the week.
Yeah, sounds very smart. How's that service going so far?
So far, great. We just launched it. It's only been going about 5 weeks. And probably around 800 have been coming out on a Monday, so we're happy with that.
That is excellent.
And now that school's out, you know, we'll see if the parents in sports and or, like Jeff said, the families going up to the cottage will make it part of their habit to come to church on Monday. They don't have to miss now that they're out of town on the weekends. So So far, so good.
Good. And if they want to learn more about Fly on the Wall, what's your website? Where would they go?
Yeah, just go to valleyfamilychurch.org, and all the details are there. And, yeah, we'd love to have anybody come that would like to come.
Okay, good. Well, let's jump into the baptistry. Let's jump into the topic here at hand. And last year, you guys, in your church, you baptized 500 people. That's a lot of baptisms for the year.
Yeah, it's fun. We love it. And the reason that the number is as high as it was is we took an idea from a church and did what we call a spontaneous baptism, where we spoke on the subject back in January of last year. And I preached the story out of Acts where Philip came upon the eunuch in the desert there, and he said, "Well, what hinders me from being baptized?" And at the conclusion of the message, we said, "You know, you're probably here going, oh, I've heard this great message on baptism. I want to be baptized, but you know, I'm going to need time to think about it, and I'm going to have to get different clothes on and all those things." I said, "It's no longer, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about clothes. We've got shorts and shirts, and we got hair tires for the girls. We got towels. We got everything. All you got to do is be willing to come and be baptized, and we'll do it right now." And then I said, "Right now, the worship team's going to come back. I'm going to go back and change my clothes. I'll meet you here in the baptism tank in 5 minutes. So go, you know, we'll direct you to where to go. Girls, you go one way. Boys, you go the other." And off I walked off the platform, you know, hoping that somebody would respond. And because it was certainly a step of faith. And now that we think about it, we thought we should have had some plants at least in the audience that would have done it. Because we weren't sure if anybody was going to do it.
Keep you from looking real dumb.
real dumb there by myself in the baptism tank. So anyway, over the weekend we had, 359 people we water baptized.
359
yeah,
people
one
in one weekend.
Yeah,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was amazing.
Okay. So that would help numbers.
That helps.
Yeah.
So yeah, that helps.
Well, what you guys did on Saturday and Sunday in the services, both Lisa and I saw that, and we are both very, very moved. I don't want to make this a criticism of anyone, but I just wonder if in our churches, by and large, if we have not devalued baptism. You know, I'm in different churches at different times, but so I might not see and be there when they're doing their baptism sure. services, but... just what I saw here Saturday and Sunday, I'll just describe it to you, the listener, from an observer standpoint. Right in the middle of worship, you know, they had a break in between songs, and they had a video come on of the baptismal candidate giving a video testimony. Obviously, it had been recorded ahead of time. And it was, I saw three of them, and each of them was so moving. They just shared how God had impacted their life, how different people in the church had been instrumental in bringing them to the Lord, inviting them to church, how their life had changed. I mean, really moving testimonies. And obviously, you know, they'd been edited a little bit, but they were great. Mm-hmm. And then went right from the video, and there's the person in the baptistry with a couple, you know, pastors beside them. And man, the people just went wild. They loved it. Mm-hmm. And then went right back into worship. It was great. So tell us, how did all this originate? And to give us the behind-the-scene mechanics of mm-hmm. what you do, why you do it, how you came about it.
Well, we first saw it down in North Point, Andy Stanley's church in Atlanta, and mm-hmm. During a service, and it was how you and Lisa were moved. It moved Beth and I, and it was very similar to what we do here. When we saw that, it was such a moving moment within the service, because that's really what it's all about. You know, Jesus said, "Go therefore into all the nations and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." So we know that our faith is a journey together. It's something that we do together. It isn't just an event, but it's in a series of different events. And we found that baptism is a huge event in a person's life. That we do a lot of things as human beings that at the moment may seem like a really big thing. But as the years pass by, we forget about that. We forget about this or that or whatever. No one will ever forget the day they were water baptized, mm-hmm. ever. They will always, always, always remember that moment where they made a public declaration of their faith. And so we know how powerful that is for the individual. But it's even more amplified or multiplied when that moment is shared with others. And that's what you experienced in the service. We were moved if we saw them on video sharing their testimony. But as a congregation, we were moved when we saw them make that declaration of faith and be water baptized. And to us, what it signifies is a win for the church.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody understands. You know, that's why I'm out in the parking lot directing cars. That's why I'm changing diapers in the nursery. That's why I'm working behind the scenes, editing videos or whatever. It's because of this life change that just happened. And so we wanted to introduce this example of a life change in as many services as we can. So we are constantly putting that before our people, that this isn't just about another message. It's just not about, you know, coming to church on the weekend. It's about someone's life being changed for eternity. And when we're able to do that, God really honors that and stirs people's hearts in ways that we couldn't do it in a well-put-together message.
The other thing that's awesome about it is it keeps a heart for evangelism in front of the whole church, mm-hmm. every service. Because like Jeff said, they see, here's this person's testimony, and you can't deny life change. And then what you alluded to is somewhat intentional in that we ask them in their testimony, we give them a little outline, you know, say, hey, can you write up your testimony? Here's some key points to be thinking about as you're thinking mm-hmm. about your story. Because we do want to encourage whatever ministry or whatever person or whatever it was that got them to the Lord and that got them to church. And we want them to make mention of that. Because the whole church, if you work in kids' church and they said, oh, my son came to church and you know, he was so excited, I just had to come check this church out. And then I came to check the church mm-hmm. out. And then, oh, my gosh, then I came to the Lord. Well, then everybody in kids' church is totally encouraged because yeah. they had a part in this person's salvation or whatever the case, you know. So whatever area of ministry has been a part of this person's story, they get so encouraged about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that be a big part of it. Then the families come, because the family, whole family, they might not come to church for anything, but they will come if you're getting water baptized.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get an opportunity to reach families as well. So it's really been a great thing on many fronts.
One of the testimonies this weekend was a young man who was talking about his friend who had invited him to our college group. And he said this friend invited him 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget that.
That really stood out.
Yeah.
Because what it told everybody who heard that, who said, who've invited somebody once and are afraid to invite him again, just gave him courage to say, you know what, I need to invite my friend again, or I need to invite them again and again and again until they come. And to see what's happened, because this one individual in the church wouldn't give up on this guy. They wouldn't quit on him. They knew he needed Jesus. It just encouraged all of us to do a better job at evangelism.
Yeah. Now, as far as logistics go, the way that we do it is we advertise it every week. You know, if you want to be water baptized, you know, sign up, go online, and so on. And we try to have at least two, no more than two, people baptized per service.
Mm-hmm.
And so, theoretically, we would do six people per weekend. And then they come in on Wednesday nights. We do the video shoots on Wednesday nights at, you know, between 4:30 and 6:30. It's all scheduled. And there's a little bit of a system in place so that we can stay ahead of the curve and just try to get as many people as possible. And if and when we reach the point that we need to do more than six a weekend, then, you know, we'll come up with another plan. But for now, this is the plan.
Mm-hmm. I noticed they brought in one of the sample outline script for video testimony. For the water baptism.
Uh-huh.
And these are just some suggested ideas,
right.
You know, tell us your name, describe your recent spiritual journey, describe, you know, your time frame and connection to VFC. And really, for a person who's not a public speaker, mm-hmm. this would be really helpful to just, and they can just do little short clips
right.
of it, and then
mm-hmm.
the editing people can
right.
put it together. It was really, really well done.
Good.
And it just seemed to be a win-win situation. It just reinforced, you know, the biblical commandment for baptism.
Mm-hmm.
It gave great expression to the outreach and the witness of different church members and different ministry departments,
mm-hmm.
the impact that was having. And it really just seemed to create an atmosphere of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a great testimony of here are lives being changed right here in our church. You all had a part of it, and then
yeah,
whoopee,
yeah.
we celebrate
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
And it was really powerful. And I think even placing it in the middle of worship songs, I've never seen that done. I just thought that was outstanding.
And I don't know how if you guys felt it. I mean, we always do. It seems like that worship elevates about 10 degrees higher every time.
Uh-huh.
We do this,
yeah.
you know, that after the baptism, people are just so into it and
mm-hmm.
really celebrate the Lord.
Yeah, it's been cool because even the songs that they happen to be singing after baptism, our worship team doesn't know what the candidate's going to say on video. But it has been remarkable, certain words that the video testimony, the person will say, oh, my chains, you know, have been broken, I'm free, and it just so happens, although it's a God thing, we're in the song, you know, my chains fell off, I've been set free. And that wasn't planned, but those are Holy Spirit things that we've seen mm-hmm. happen, and then, of course, you know, that just fires everybody up.
Yeah.
So it's been very good.
What are, now, we were obviously just in two services. We saw three of these video testimonies followed immediately by the baptisms. What are some, have there been some other, you know, especially outstanding testimonies? Do any come to mind in particular?
Well, we shared a video testimony, actually a testimony of one of our members who was a meth addict. He was on crack cocaine. He was just a drug addict in terrible shape. Was raised in a pastor's home. And so we actually shared his story when I preached the message on water baptism a few months ago. And his story was so remarkable because this real big guy began coming to church, and sitting next to him was this an older gentleman with a wooden cross around his neck. He'd always come on Saturday nights and sits on the front row, and I couldn't figure out who these people were, and finally I asked, and this was the guy who had given his life to the Lord, got off drugs. His dad was the man sitting next to him. Mm. His dad was a Baptist preacher, and he was raised in a Baptist preacher's home, and when he gave his heart to the Lord, his dad, you know, what his dad had been praying for years, would come to our church on Saturday night, still preaching in his own church on Sunday morning, but would come to support his son. And this day we did the water baptisms. This guy was one of the first men in the tub, in the tank. And when I looked at him, I said, you know, your dad's been praying for this for years. And there was his dad sitting on the front row, and mm-hmm. he shared his story about how God had just set him free. And we water baptized him that day to his family's excitement and to his dad, whose, you know, tears were and filled his eyes. And the cool story about this particular baptism is this gentleman is going to be attending Rhema this fall.
Uh-huh,
so we're just, you know, from crack addict to preaching the gospel. So.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's just so significant.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was another story when we did the spontaneous baptism that is actually a pretty cool story, too. There was a young man that was staying overnight at our house the night before this particular church service. He came with our kids, you know. So Jeff does this spontaneous water baptism. If you want to get water baptized, you know, go ahead and let's do it. And so the line begins to form for all these people that want to get baptized. And so we look in the line, and we see Will, this boy that was overnight at our house the night before. And we're thinking, oh, boy, I hope his parents are okay with him getting baptized in church. You know, it's kind of a big deal, and maybe we shouldn't be water baptizing, you know, the kid that stayed overnight at our house without his parents' approval or permission or knowledge, you know. But he was so excited, and it was really truly a heartfelt thing for him, right? So anyways, we're all concerned about it until he gets right up to the tub and gets ready to be the next person in the water baptismal tank, and we look behind him, and that's his dad.
Oh, my gosh, he's next
his
in line.
His dad was in the service, unbeknownst to us and unbeknownst to Will. His dad's in the service. First time they visited, because they wanted to know, why does their son come to our church? What is it about this church that he likes? So his dad just so happened to come to that service. Jeff gives the invitation. Dad goes out to get water baptized and get the clothing.
Not knowing that his son does.
They meet each other in the hallway, and they're like, oh, we're both going to get water baptized. So they got baptized together.
That is so neat.
It was such a cool, it's just such a cool God
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And now that family is a very active members of our church.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. It's cool.
Very powerful. Now, let me go back to the spontaneous baptism. That was what you were just describing.
Yeah.
You said how many got baptized that night?
That weekend, 359.
359.
Yeah, 359.
And how did you get 350-some pairs of shorts and all that?
Well, we had a lot of washing going on between Saturday night and Sunday morning.
Okay.
Because we went through a lot, and folks took towels home and shorts home, and cleaned them all up and brought around them all back the next
but
day.
But what they did do, the team that put it all together, they did go out and buy 200 or 250 kits. They ordered shorts, towels, flip-flops, hair tires, you know, underwear. I mean, everything.
What is a hair tire?
You know, for a ponytail, for the girl's hair.
Oh, okay.
They put together like 200 and some kits just by faith, not knowing who's even going to do this.
Right.
And it turned out to be enough because, like Jeff said, then we washed everything. They did the night before or the night after, and and it all worked out. So.
Yeah. What were your baptisms like before you began doing them this way?
Well, we would do them several times a year. You know, just when the season was right here in Michigan, obviously we have a hard time. We didn't have a tank until we had a portable tank. We had to do it outside. So it was in the spring or summer we would do them in lakes or swimming pools or whatever. Then we ordered a portable baptism tank that actually comes in pieces. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but it's about the size of a hot tub, but they're big plastic pieces that sort of puzzle pieces that fit together, and the liner goes inside of it, and you fill it with water, and it has a portable heater. So we would set that up for a number of years and just have special services for that. Like sometimes we'd have a worship night at church and say, at this worship night, we're going to do baptism. So we didn't always do it on the weekend services. We might do it on an off night or after services. But we love doing them in the services. Mm-hmm. That's really...
And previously it was awesome because we would do a lot of people at one time. So maybe we would do 30 or 50 or 70 people in a worship night. And so it was a big celebration, but you didn't get to hear their story. And what's nice about what we're doing now is we're only doing a couple of people per service, and so you really do get to hear that video testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful. Like you said, it's just powerful to hear all the different stories and all the different ways God is working to get to people. So the other way was fun, and it was a big celebration, but I think we like this way better because mm-hmm. it's more impacting to everyone.
Yeah. It seems to be really honoring of the ordinance, mm-hmm. you know, and I think the one word I walked away with from Saturday and Sunday watching this was that I think it was one of the most meaningful baptisms I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I think anything that we can do, you know, there's communion and there's baptism. Those are two things that Jesus, you know, left for the church to do to remember him and to... they're object lessons that communicate really valuable spiritual truths. And I think anything that we can do to make those just non-ritualistic, because sometimes mm-hmm. we do things in a way and they become meaningless mm-hmm. just because we go through them with numbness in our brain mm-hmm. and we haven't really had the Holy Spirit inspired touch to make that special and meaningful mm-hmm. to people. And
right.
So, mm-hmm. You know, we're not in any way saying that this is the only way to do it or that some other way is wrong, but, boy, I just really enjoyed seeing what happened and hearing, you know, the person's testimony of the changed life and then seeing, like you said, it absolutely did that. It elevated the rest of the mm-hmm. worship because I guess it really took everything out of a theoretical realm of worship. And we're worshiping God because he changes lives
yeah.
just like the one. And, you know, the testimonies really weren't dramatic testimonies.
Right.
But they were heartfelt.
They were genuine. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very genuine.
Right.
Yeah. Just sharing the other points on this handout that you give them to help them do their testimony for the video. Describe how you came to Christ or rededicated yourself to the Lord, and share one scripture,
uh-huh.
and then describe what happened in your life since then in one sentence. So they all kept it very brief. Mm-hmm. None of the videos were more than a minute or two long.
Yeah, maybe two at the most.
Yeah, no more than 2 minutes.
Yeah, and I think short and sweet, right. obviously, uh-huh. is yeah. the order. And kind of by being able to videotape it, then you can yeah. definitely keep it. Because we all yeah. know folks sometimes when they get a microphone, we preachers are the worst sinners of all. You know, just uh-huh. go on and on and on and on and on. And then at the very end, everybody made this declaration. It says, make your declaration by concluding with this statement. Therefore, today, I make my declaration, Jesus is the Lord of my life. And man, when they did that, the crowd just went nuts. And that's when the people in the tank baptized them. And it was just cool.
So you said it really well, because I think, you know, Jesus gave us those two commands about communion and about water baptism. And unfortunately, we being who we are, can make those two things very religious. And yet Jesus made them very much about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He's the bread. He's the wine. You know, he's the one who said, listen, the baptism is about a changed life based on what I did for you. And when we mm-hmm. when we personalize it, when we make it genuine to us, it changes everything. And that's that feeling in worship that happens is now I'm not just singing a song, because we can make singing a song religious, mm-hmm. you know. But when we realize we're singing to Him about the chains that have been busted off now, mm-hmm. the things that have, the new life that's happened, man, oh man, it just brings life to it. So mm-hmm. it's rich.
It's been great. And, you know, I think the thing that maybe will be an encouragement to people, sometimes you think, well, how am I going to schedule a water baptism into my service? I've already got so many things in the schedule, and who's got time to add all this? But like you said, we make it a part of one of the songs. It's not always the last song. Sometimes it's the middle song. It doesn't, you know, whatever song it needs to be. But we make it a part of the song. And honestly, it's only added, at the most, it's only added 2 to 4 minutes mm-hmm. to the service. And for that, we can cut out an announcement, you know. So
right.
it really has not added any extra time per se, but boy, has it ever added a spiritual dynamic
mm-hmm.
that has been well worth any investment of time or prep or whatever.
Exactly. Now, there may be pastors listening that they're meeting in a rented facility. They're meeting in a church building that doesn't even have a baptistry. So, you know, there are other ways to be creative, to be innovative, to find ways to, you know, do baptisms that are very meaningful to people. So, you know, this is just one concept, one way, but I think a highly effective way. But I think we'd all be well served to just always be asking the question, how can we make sure that what we're doing has life breathed into it? How do we make sure that we keep these things fresh and life-giving for mm-hmm. the people? And I think you guys have just really just hit the nail on the head with it in the way what you found that works well here. I think it's a great
awesome.
A great method,
yeah.
you know.
Yay, God.
Yeah. Yay, God.
Good
God.
To hear.
Yeah. Hooray for God. So anyway, we want to remind you about, again, the Fly on the Wall conference. And I've talked to pastors who've been to that, and they have loved it. They love coming in and seeing the inner workings of a church that is really thriving and vibrant and just picking ideas here and there. And again, that's October?
October 16th, 17th, and 18th.
16th, 17th, and 18th. And the website again is?
Website is valleyfamilychurch.org.
Valleyfamilychurch.org. And probably most of the people listening to this are aware of Beth's books. She's a very prolific writer, has the Getting a Grip on the Basics series. And can they get to your books and resources through the same website?
Yep.
Okay.
The
Beth has a new devotional out. So just a lot of great resources. This is a very fruitful place. And so anyway, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Sharing about this, you know, cool aspect of baptism. And thanks for touching lives in Kalamazoo and beyond.
Yay.
Amen. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you,
appreciate
Tony.
It.